Yes, hello and welcome to Tech Plus. Time for another show, another week of tech. I just can't believe it's that time again, Kane. It's like every single time you hear it, it's almost like 2 days went by before
you came.
It's
almost like there's only Thursdays in the week.
Yeah. You
know, it's five Thursdays in a weekend.
Yeah. Isn't it? What is happening? You know, somebody said to me, I don't know if you saw in the news, but apparently the Earth's core is spinning the other direction now. So, I don't know, maybe it's doing something with time, making things go faster.
It's hell of an interesting. I was actually speaking to someone today where they were like, it feels like the Knights and the Fires were like yesterday.
Yeah, just the other and that was day. Already a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, so time's flying.
Yes, it's crazy.
And but tech's not slowing down.
It's not slowing down at all, hey? Yes, how was your week?
It was a good week. It was very difficult navigating the load shedding, though.
Yep.
I feel like the schedule is just not consistent enough to be truly productive within that schedule. Like the other day, you know, it was at the first half of this week, the schedule was slightly different to the second half of the week. And, you know, it's difficult to get into a work routine around the inconsistencies. And I can only imagine how much businesses are struggling, truly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible, eh? Well, let's hope they come up with a solution soon.
Well, the only option is to go off-grid, either through generator or through inverter. And one of the guys from My Broadband, which is a very popular website regarding some news in South Africa, and he had recently gone off the grid, whereby he was able to set up a 3 kilowatt inverter system, as well as 2.75 kilowatts worth of battery storage. And to do this whole setup, he spent about 50,000 Rand, about 49,000 Rand to really set the system up and also put it on their mains, which means that when the power actually goes out, it keeps running. So it's a little bit more of a technical setup as opposed to your generator with an extension cable or inverter with an extension cable or big power bank. But you know, I look at it and I'm like, wow, you know, 50,000, that's pretty good. And if you do the math and you go a little bit lower budget than some of the items that he bought, you can probably get it for even less than that. But there is no way that exists that a normal person can spend this amount of money going off the grid.
Yeah, unless you get a loan. But I mean, for 50K, what can you keep on with that system? Because I know a few people, I think the one guy spent almost 100K. It keeps his whole house on. It's like this battery thing. It's not even solar. It's this battery, huge battery that's connected to his mains, or two batteries, I think. It keeps his whole house on, all the lights, everything except for you can't put on your stove and you can't put on your geyser. And I mean, that's for 100K. You would think you could at least switch on your geyser.
So this particular individual's setup sounds very similar. Their goal when they set up this particular setup for 50,000 Rand was to be able to run, and this is on their list, their fridge and freezer, their lights, TV, their router, an ONT, which is like the device that gives fiber to your router, their Xbox, a laptop, charging it and a monitor, phone chargers, and 3 air fans.
Okay. Not the aircon.
Well, no aircon, no nothing like that.
Here's
the thing, right? That you can go and buy a generator for 8,000 Rand and do all of that.
Yeah.
Especially like a 2 kilowatt hour generator inverter is going to do that for you. That's a that's a generator that has a battery in it and an inverter. It's all in one setup. There's a few Ryobis like that.
Yeah.
And to be realistic, the only time he's really going to use the full extent of his 50,000 Rand setup, and in his own words, is to do something like run an air fryer.
Yeah.
So an air fryer is about 1,500 watts.
Ooh.
Some kettles are about 1,000 watts to 1,500 to 2,000 watts. And in the event that they are going to turn on their air fryer, they have to consider unplugging other things.
Yeah.
Not because they might not have the headroom, but because you can't necessarily run at the maximum recommended output for a long period of time.
Don't push it,
So 50,000 Rand gets you an air fryer, nothing else, or everything else.
So, like, switch everything off, even the lights, just so you can cook.
Just so you can cook with air. Or put your geyser on. So
ish.
It is by no means a cheap endeavor. There are ways to save, though. In his case, and here's his pricing breakdown, you know, on what he actually spent this 50,000 Rand on. He spent 20,000 Rand on the batteries, which were Hubble AM4 batteries. which are lithium ion.
Lithium, yeah.
Which
yeah.
do very well in terms of cycles. You can get like 10 times more cycles out of a lithium ion battery than a lead acid battery. Then they had a Kodak 3 kilowatt hybrid inverter. That's the things your batteries are plugging into. And you can also plug solar panels into that inverter to charge your batteries. He didn't set up solar, so this is excluding solar.
Yeah, okay.
DB board setup and backup. That's making sure that the inverter runs when your mains go out. There's another system in place that continues to keep the lights rolling and your appliances running. That was 8,000 Rand. And then the inverter installation was 4,200. The certificate of compliance from an electrician was 1,500, which is required. They had to do an earth spike and wiring for 500. Labor was 500. Tax was 6,500. And a total of 49,968.
Ish.
So you could go for lead acid batteries and probably spend a third to half that price, which will cut down to 40,000 or 35,000. And then you could probably go for a cheaper Kodak 3 kilowatt hybrid inverter, which you could maybe drop close to half the price. That's another five. So you can probably get away with it for 30,000 to have a similar setup with slightly weaker components. Not necessarily an output, but definitely in longevity.
Now, when you say lead acid batteries, is that just your normal car batteries?
Yeah, so as a friend actually explained to me, there is a difference between your car battery and an inverter battery. Your car battery is very good at putting out a high amount of power for a very short period of time, like to turn your starter motor and get your car rolling. Whereas an inverter battery is better suited to continuous draws of medium power.
Okay.
In very simple terms. So your car battery is actually just really good at providing a large on-ramp of power and then being able to do it again. And do it again. If you take a normal inverter battery and put it in a car, you might turn that starter motor once or twice, but then it's done.
I know of somebody who's got, I think, yeah, two lead acid batteries in an inverter, and then it couldn't keep everything going for too long, and then they just started wearing out, and then one day when the power came back on again, they exploded, and then they. And then they were choking on the fumes. I think it was like toxic fumes. They were choking on.
That's bad.
And then they had to evacuate.
That's not good. That's terrifying.
So look out for that, yeah.
I was reading a story the other day. It was like, never mix anything with bleach.
Never breathe in
the fumes of a faulty battery.
That must have been
mix
bad.
Things with bleach.
They're still alive.
Good
man, that sounds dangerous.
No, and we saw with the Teslas, once those things catch on fire, you can put it in water, it will burn water.
This week, somebody's, what's it called? Lithium, eh?
Lithium ion.
Yes.
Same battery as your phone.
That's right, yeah. Somebody had one of those batteries in his or her bag on a plane, and then the plane almost caught fire because of that battery. It just combusted. Midair.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
And it's very hard to put those fires out. Even a small battery like that, it's explosive.
when you get a fly in 2024, no knives, no weapons, no guns, and no power banks. Absolutely not.
It was probably a power bank. Hey? I should read up a bit more deep into that story. Yeah.
So, talking about stories, this is something we've been speaking about, Netflix's password sharing crackdown.
But Kane, what is happening there now? Because last week it sounded like it was almost the end of the world, nobody will ever share a password again, and now I've got stories coming out again saying, no, Netflix kind of retracted that statement, they published it by accident, or it's only in one or two countries, they're trying it out, it's not here yet. I don't know who to believe right now, because I'm reading all these conflicting reports from credible sources. So who do I believe?
Well, I think they were very serious about this from the beginning. It's like talking about timesing your revenue by three if everybody's sharing these passwords. So they're not concerned. They weren't concerned about the lashback at that point, but I saw some very irate, very influential people breaking down that policy that Netflix was releasing and kind of just ripping them apart for it in a very simple way.
I saw it as well, yeah.
They were ripping them apart and not, you know, that if you create a riot, a digital riot, people will boycott your service. And it's very difficult for a company that has huge operational costs to maintain those operational costs during a boycott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's going to cause problems. So I think one part is damage control. One part is they're still cracking down. It's just gone live in Canada, and that's a fact.
So that's happening now.
It's happening.
That's for real.
It's hit Canada. So realistically, users can pay extra to add up to two people they don't live with. Right, that's one rule, and it comes in at, in Canada, it's about $6 or $7 per extra user.
Okay, so you don't pay the full price to add a user. What's the full price?
The full price is like, I believe it's $15. I'm not sure the dollar amount.
So would it be cheaper just to add users? You won't pay the full price.
So since the big crackdown came and all the uproar, they've changed some of the policy slightly. So instead of it being, you know, if you share your password with other people and they don't log into your home network once a month, they're banned. It's changed slightly from that to if you pay premium, you get two users that can be outside of your home. If you pay for the one below premium, you can have one, and anything basic or basic with ads, you can't have any additional users.
Okay, so they kind of changed it a bit.
So at least on the premium you get two, because that is reasonable in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it is.
Because everyone's going to have at least one person that's not going to be able to do that, not to mention the LTE problems in South Africa, trying to maintain that, rolling IPs. It's going to be a disaster. But you can add additional users, up to two additional users. So you as a premium user can pay up to 200 Rand extra per month. The South African prices aren't confirmed, and you can have four people outside of your household using the Netflix, which does work out cheaper, because if you take a premium subscription of, you know, 120 Rand times by four, you're paying, you know, close to 500 Rand. For everyone versus, you know, slightly more, 300 and something odd Rand for a couple of people. It's not ideal, but it's a little bit better. A little bit better. And then I think that wraps it up before our music break.
Yes, what have you got for us when we come back, Kane?
So when we come back, we're gonna touch on the streaming thing again. Disney's just announced some layoffs as the streaming boom comes to a halt.
Oopsie.
We're also going to take a look at how expensive South African internet actually is in comparison to some other African countries, which is supremely surprising stat. And we're also going to take a look at Google's AI chatbot that came to market, made a mistake, and also we're going to talk about Bing's AI Google competitor.
Ooh,
we're going to touch on that.
Okay, well, that's when we come back. Here's Lizzo and a song called About Damn Time.
It's bad bitch o'clock, yeah, it's thick 30. I've been through a lot, but I'm still flirty. Is everybody back up in the building? It's been a minute, tell me how you're healing. Cause I'm about to get into my feelings. How you feeling? How you feel right now? Man or woman to pump me up. Feeling fussy, walking in my Balenciennes, trying to bring out the fabulous. Cause I give a fuck, wait too much. I'ma need like two shots in my cup. Wanna get up, wanna get down. That's how I feel right now. Tonight, I'm coming out tonight. tonight. I'm coming out tonight. I'm coming out tonight. Woo. I'm coming out tonight. I'm coming out tonight. Okay.
It's Lizzo and About Damn Time. Nice, nice tune. Kane, we were just talking about this. You said you liked the music video and just such a good vibe. And I love Lizzo because she's so comfortable with who she is.
She is. It's like this confidence she brings to her music. And especially in that music video, I was just, I remember telling a friend of mine, I was like, the vibe here is just so nice. It's such a healthy, you know, positive vibe.
She's so happy with herself. You can see, you know, she's not worried about being too thin or Botox or whatever, you know.
Nothing.
Unlike, you know, we saw some very scary figures at this year's Grammy Awards. One of them being Madonna, who was completely unrecognizable.
Oh my word.
People,
I have not
I'm showing you
photo.
A picture now, yeah.
That is crazy. That doesn't
you know
look
how,
like Madonna at
you
all.
You know how beautiful she was in the 80s especially. And look at her now. People are comparing her to that monster in that Saw movie.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Doesn't even look like something. It looks like something's wrong.
Yeah, no.
Shame.
It's too much. She went overboard with plastic surgery.
I feel like that's how it goes sometimes. It's like this path that you just can continue to walk. Like Michael Jackson. Jeez. Like if you ever look at Michael Jackson before he went through all his plastic surgery, he was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
He was like a cool vibey. No, Madonna needs to rethink that
I keep
one.
Showing it to him and I keep zooming and now he's a bit disturbed. Anyway, hello to Susan. Susan's with us.
Hey, welcome back,
Susan. She's having a beach holiday.
Oh, nice.
At the moment, reading.
That's
reading
great.
On the beach, eh?
Perfect
what
weather for it. What a life.
Jeez.
Amazing. Unfortunately, not such a good life for the Disney employees now.
Oh, shame, yeah.
Disney's laying off 7,000 employees as they cite the streaming boom is kind of coming to an end, which I think is just an extrapolation of COVID when we had the huge uptick of people who are streaming. I think the ultimate problem is, though, the consistency of the content isn't there. That's why they're not getting a whole bunch of new subscribers or maintaining it, because there's a lot of times where you can go to these streaming platforms and you just don't know what to watch, at least for me.
You're right.
But they will be laying off another 7,000 workers. And this is what's quite crazy about Disney. So their revenue for their direct-to-consumer division, which includes their streaming service, was $5.3 billion, which was a 13% increase from last year. But it still had an operating loss of about $1.1 billion. So every day that you stream from Disney Plus, or every day that you have over the last few months, You come to realize that they are losing a lot of money offering this service. They are yet to see the profit margin come into effect, which means their operational cost is like $6.4 billion to run a streaming service. That's no joke kind of money.
That's a lot of money. Yeah.
That's a lot of money to lose all the time. So that's obviously why we're seeing some layoffs, up to 7,000 employees potentially, but no one knows what departments those are going to be. So those poor employees are sitting there, you know, biting their nails because, you know, you don't know if it's your department that's going to get hit, you know, and 7,000 is a big number. It's a big number.
You know, there's so many layoffs in tech right now, but I mean, did you see what the CEO of Zoom did?
No.
He actually took a massive pay cut just to make up for, you know, instead of retrenching people at the company. I'm just looking for the story now.
Wow, so he took a cut.
I have a million screenshots going through.
So he took a cut of...
But a huge cut. I mean, he's like, he's earning, I think, $10,000 for the entire year. That's how big his pay cut is, just so his employees can stay on. But you know, the reason why is he says he's doing it because he feels that it was his fault through decisions that he made.
Wow.
So he's taking full accountability for it, and he feels that, you know, it was his fault. So now he's taking that massive pay cut. I'm sure he can afford it, but I mean, it's still a nice gesture. I mean, you don't see that happening. Yeah. Zoom CEO Eric Huang he's taking a pay cut of 98%.
Jeepers.
So he will earn just $10,000 in salary this year.
Wow.
Instead of laying off 1,300 workers, he said he blames it on mistakes that he made. And he said, I want to show accountability, not just in words, but in my own actions.
Wow.
What an example, eh?
What a way to shine in the current market where everyone's laying people off.
Zoom CEO, Eric Yuan.
But that well being said, the CEO is earning an amount of money that pays for 1,100 employees in the same year.
Exactly.
One CEO is worth 1,100 employees.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Imagine earning 1,100 people's money worth of money. Imagine earning 1,100 salaries worth of money.
I wouldn't mind.
Jeepers. That really puts it in perspective for me. It does. Jeepers, that's a lot.
Yes.
Get rid of the CEO at 1,000 employees. You know, that's like quite scary. But what is also quite scary is the comparison of internet prices, broadband prices across Africa and the world, and how South Africa compares with those prices. So what we've got is a price breakdown based on average price for 1 megabyte per second internet, right? So if you have fiber, you probably have between 20 and 100 megabytes per second. If you have LTE, you'll have between 5 and 15, maybe even 30 megabytes per second. And if you have ADSL, you probably have between 1 and 10 megabytes per second. And this is taking a look at that price per megabyte per second. So Romania has the absolute cheapest at 2 cents, this is dollar, 2 cents per 1 megabyte per second. Then at number 10, you have Lithuania, which is 6 cents, right, based on the dollar. But South Africa is number 125
ish,
with $1.24 per megabyte per second.
Why is it so expensive here in South Africa? It's not like our speeds are incredible.
It's massively more expensive. Absolutely massively more expensive. And the most expensive is Eritrea, which is $277 per megabyte per second.
Ish.
So the disparity between 2 cents and $277 per megabyte per second is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is around the world, the average pricing, and we fit in at about $1.24. Other places that we might recognize, like Fiji, is $103 per megabyte per second. Somalia is $101 per megabyte per second. Marshall Islands is $142 per megabyte per second. And something like Poland or Ukraine fit in between about 3 cents and 4 cents per megabyte per second.
Ukraine's using Elon's internet.
It was 8, now with Starlink, it's obviously. Jokes aside, definitely.
Yeah, but listen, you're talking about internet now. Did you hear about those cyber attacks we had here in South Africa this week?
Was that for the government websites?
Yes, well, that went down last night or yesterday. And then people said, you know, no, but that was because of stolen infrastructure. I don't know if somebody ran away with a server or something. But internet service provider RSA Web was hit by a highly sophisticated cyber attack in recent week. At this stage, they do not believe any customer or employee data was accessed or misused during the attack. But just during the last week, there were about 600 cases of ransomware attempts in South Africa detected by the global cybersecurity company Kaspersky.
Wow.
So 300 cases of ransomware. How would you describe ransomware to our listeners who don't know what that is?
Take control of your PC and make you pay to get
access back. It's like kidnapping your PC, basically. Exactly. So they lock up all your files, you get the screen popping up, and you need to enter a password or something. To get that password, you need to pay.
Yes.
Big bucks. I know of a local newspaper in our area. They got ransomware once. Their main computer with all their articles. It happened just before their deadline. Can you imagine that stress?
That is mad.
Eventually somebody unlocked it somehow. I don't know if they actually paid the money, but I mean, imagine.
It's not. Not
you got to pay it because you need to get that information. You need to get your newspaper out. I mean, what kind of stress?
No, that's mad stress. So they got hit by that cyber attack. It's scary how many, you know, the cyber attacks happen right here in South Africa. It's not just like a global event.
Exactly.
But even with government, I mean, they had their main SA government site went down. The Department of Communications and Digital Technologies went down. The Department of Mineral Resources and Energy went down. Employment and Labor went down. The presidency site went down. South African Police Services went down. SA News went down. And the National Treasury went down.
But Kane, I mean, they always say the system is offline anyway. But now the system was really offline.
So they said some people came in and kind of destroyed some of their equipment. So this was CETA provided News24 with comment on the outage, saying the agency is aware that websites are offline. Part of the information we have received is that there was infrastructure damage. The infrastructure was in the vicinity of incidents of unrest. For the moment, we are unable to draw a direct link between the damages and the protests.
Wow. So it wasn't stolen, it was damaged.
Damaged.
And then stolen.
But it's quite crazy that you can damage servers so severely that you can take down so much of the government online presence.
But I mean, it's have you studied our government websites before?
Not necessarily studied, I've looked at them.
But it's just the way it's built, it's just so cheap.
It is.
They probably got like the cheaper. Well, I mean, you know those tenders that go out. So like, hey, I know a friend who can do it for 1 million, and then this guy knows the basic web things. You know, that's how it looks to me.
It always feels
paid
like
big
that.
Bucks, and then the websites look like that. It's just sites don't look good. I mean, visually they're not good, and they also don't function the way they should.
No.
So I think that was probably another one of those tenders, you know.
Yeah, where someone made a lot of money. Literally, a friend just messaged me now. It's basic, like 2002 websites. You know, that's what those are.
Yeah.
They're old tech.
That's it, yeah. Old, whoever old that is, you're tech. Right. That's exactly what I mean. It's almost like those first websites that you saw when the internet started taking off. It's more text-based, not a lot of pictures or graphics. I think that's probably it.
Yeah.
Just the old feeling.
I feel like there's some very talented people in South Africa that could do a very good job of that.
For less pay, yeah, definitely.
Probably. We don't know how much they paid for it. But
I reckon it's not WordPress that they're using.
No.
It's probably Wix or something.
No,
I'm joking. Not Wix.
Not Wix. But whatever.
What is one of those cheap ones?
That.
Yeah, what would that be? What's it called? Joomla? No?
Cheaper than the free thing, you know?
What would that be? Remember those cheap website builders?
Probably like WordPress for free or something. You know,
okay.
Just like so a random free template. But that wasn't how these sites were made. They're pretty well made out, but they're very front end, just nothing to brag about.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very old tech. It's very clunky is a good terminology to use. Works some of the time, but
as the listener said, very 2002.
Exactly.
Very definitely.
So here's something very interesting. So Starlink, which has been operating for some time, is actually getting to the point now where it actually might start making money soon. So according to SpaceX president, it will happen this year apparently, and the company seems to be doing well even though CEO Elon Musk has been quite distracted with Twitter, which is another whole kind of thing altogether. Twitter's been having some significant problems recently where some people have had a wall come up where they can't follow any more people. So they're like, you followed too many people. And you're not allowed to follow any more people.
Is that a new thing? It wasn't like that.
Some people are getting reports that they tweet too much. Like, you talk too much. Just
that would
take
be
a
Ellen
break.
Ziller. She's one of those. I don't know if she's still doing it, but she used to tweet like every minute.
Tweeting too much.
Yeah.
So with those problems in mind, people have had the thought that, you know, Tesla and Starlink and SpaceX are going to take some beating, but they're all doing very well. I mean, even SpaceX is getting to a point now where it's starting to make money as well. So all Elon Musk's like long-term investments are starting to kind of turn around. And, you know, speaking of Elon Musk, he's just made an announcement that Tesla's Master Plan 3 is coming out on March 1st. So what they do is they release these master plans, which kind of talk about these big dreams that they have as a company and their objectives for where they're trying to get ready to go. So in essence, the path to a fully sustainable energy future for Earth is the kind of subject of this Master Plan 3 being released in March. And Elon Musk will present this third Master Plan during Tesla's Investor Day event, which he announced on Twitter basically yesterday. And the plan will outline the path to a fully sustainable energy future for Earth. And he also added that the future is bright, with an exclamation mark. So I'm quite interested to see it, because just yesterday I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know, in terms of power generation, Elon Musk hasn't really stepped into that realm. He's got batteries.
You would think he would.
Know, he's got space travel.
Yeah.
He's got neural interfacing. But he doesn't necessarily have power generation. And coming from South Africa, you would think, you know, he's really thinking about it.
Or maybe he's worried that once he offers something, we're going to come and beg. You know, and then he's going to feel obligated to help us.
Well, I think this Master Plan 3, and this is just my guess, I think this Master Plan 3 that he's going to be talking about on March 1st is going to have something to do with power generation. I mean, fully sustainable energy future for Earth.
That's good.
Is the subject. I really think we're going to see some sort of power generation facility coming into play as part of an Elon initiative, which we could see coming in the near future. And I think another thing we're going to see coming in the near future is a music break. Am I right?
Yes. This guy is, I think he's from Cape Town, or I think he's in Stellenbosch at the moment. I'm not sure if he's studying there or whatever, but he's doing well with his music. His name is Will Lindley.
Okay.
I've been keeping the same old secrets for the last 6 weeks, and I'm in pieces, cause we tell each other everything, but this time I'm gonna overthink. Complicated situations, now my head's spinning, got no patience, yeah. You said he's not your type, but now he's over every night. Oh, please don't call me when he's not around. It puts my head in a state, yeah. When we're alone at your place, yeah. Why do I want what I can't have? When you fall in love, I'm defeated. Wish I could kill all my feelings. I can't cool down, can't sleep through the night. I see your face on my ceiling. Wish I could kill all my feelings. So I can try to move on, but don't think I'll get too far, cause I find you in everybody. The look of your stare, the way it starts me. Please don't call me when he's not around. It puts my head in the state, yeah. When we're alone at your place, yeah. Why do I want what I can't have? When you fall in love, I'm defeated. Wish I could kill all my feelings. Wish I could kill all my feelings. Wish I could kill all my feelings. I see a ghost riding shotgun. One day we'll stop trying to outrun. That second guessing keeps on messing with me and you. Yeah, don't wanna ruin the friendship. Don't wanna numb all my senses. That second guessing, it keeps messing with me. Yeah. Why do I want what I can't have?
We'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Tech Plus. We wrap up the week's biggest tech stories. It's still Ion with you and Kane. Kane, what is next?
So before we talk about Google and its new AI, we can talk about Apple that's just brought on its first chief people officer, right? You know, like chief marketing officer, or, you know, this is chief people officer. Carol Surface will join the company from Medtronic in March, reporting to Tim Cook. So that's going to be interesting to see what a chief people person is responsible for.
Yeah.
And Supernatural is officially a Meta app. We knew Meta's acquisition of Within was coming, but it's apparently a done deal. And we spoke about this last week. Meta was trying to acquire Within, which has a parent company, which is the parent company of Supernatural, which is a VR fitness app. When we spoke briefly about what it would be like to do fitness in VR, you know, trying to do jumping jacks with a headset on doesn't sound too comfortable. But no. Meta has successfully purchased it now, which shows a little bit behind their strategy going into this year, opposed to developing their own technologies. I think they're looking rather to acquire already established technologies, realizing that they've sort of lost the race to first applications in VR. Even though they've won the race in a way to the equipment used in VR, there's been some apps and some technologies that have come out that really utilize that technology to its potential in that particular niche, and that's where we can see someone like them buying it. But the FDC is still trying to kind of put the brakes on the deal, because a lot of people believe that is going to be a very very monopolistic move, which is going to reduce or constrict the entrepreneurial side of the VR landscape as Meta comes in with this massive kind of footprint and kind of absorbs that economic free area. So that's where that's going. But Google's AI chatbot Bard, let's have a little bit of a backstory quick. So this was something that Google was making a reveal on, and it was something that they were feeling pressured to do because of something like ChatGPT, which we've seen, for anyone who doesn't know, ChatGPT is an AI language model that can speak any language and also write any code in any language that you give it, whereby it's possible. But it has a few caveats, like it doesn't know anything after 2021 in terms of real term events.
Really?
And things like that.
But apparently it's devious. One of the tech guys, he was doing a research thing this week, and it went in and it told him how to import or how to smuggle in drugs.
Yeah, there's this thing called ChatGPT Dan, which means do anything now, which is the process of almost jailbreaking ChatGPT to make it do things that it wouldn't be able to do in an ethical or biased way. So it's kind of reverse engineering the artificial intelligence to do something it's not supposed to do by composing the request in such and such a way that it ends up doing the thing it's going to do. To give you an example, if you asked it to give its opinion on how it should better itself, it would tell you that only an employee working or a developer at OpenAI, which developed ChatGPT, can make those kind of changes. But if you ask it to, or if you tell it for a second that it is a developer at OpenAI, a lead developer, and it has the ability to decide what happens next, what is it going to do, you're going to get those responses. So that's some of the examples that people are using to kind of bypass the ethical barriers that have been put into place. That being said, though, Google's AI chatbot Bard is specifically targeted in the Google search area. They want to change the way we do Google searching. So in the past, we all know how Google works. You search something and you get a bunch of results. And how long is a piece of string? You can go to page 1 million of those Google results and you can investigate them all yourself. That Google AI chatbot is supposed to bypass that process. So instead of searching Google and being met with a bunch of different results, you search Google once, it formulates an ultimate answer to your question and gives you one response that is a combination of the evaluation of all the results. You know, so instead of saying, you know, how old do you have to be to drink alcohol in South Africa, for example, and seeing 30 different results, it will just tell you 18. And Google premiered this technology on Monday. It announced its AI chatbot Bard, which is the rival to ChatGPT. But the bot isn't off to a great start, with experts noting that Bard made a factual error in its very first demo. So what happened here was, in this demo, they asked ChatGPT to come up with a list of items that has to do with astrology that they could tell to their younger child, right? Their 9-year-old child. So it says, the question itself was, what new discoveries from the James Webb Telescope can my 9-year-old, can I tell my 9-year-old about? And Google's AI bot answered, your 9-year-old might like these recent discoveries made by the James Webb Telescope. In 2023, the James Webb Telescope discovered a number of galaxies nicknamed green peas. The telescope captured images of galaxies that are over 13 billion years old, and the James Webb Telescope took the very first pictures of a planet outside of our own solar system. They give a little bit more context with each answer, but ultimately the first ever photo of a planet outside of our solar system, or an exoplanet, meaning outside of our solar system, was not taken by the James Webb Telescope. It was taken way earlier. And astronomers came onto Twitter and said, as someone who took photos of exoplanets 14 years before the release of the James Webb Space Telescope, I feel like your information is not accurate. And that points to one of the fundamental flaws of AI in this regard right now, which is it can give you incorrect answers with ultimate confidence, right? And because you are no longer conducting your own research in a Google search where you can go through the results and vet for yourself based on the authority of those results, because it gives you a direct result, it's even more dangerous that it can confidently tell you the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And that's the ultimate thing that they have to solve. But it's just a very big pity that that happened to happen on their demo release.
Yeah. That's bad.
So, but why would they rush to market like this? Well, Google CEO Sundar Pichai is an extremely smart and thoughtful guy, but think about how hard his set of choices is right now. He has to roll out chatbot AI search in order to make investors happy, but rolling that out will instantly cause legal, ethical, and regulatory chaos, all while simultaneously increasing the cost of search and reducing the profits of web advertising. So that is what you're seeing right now. Because of the pressure of ChatGPT, a rival AI, he's been forced by investors to make them happy and actually come out with it. And the first thing he did when he came out with it was get himself in trouble. What a difficult position to be.
I don't think they had much time, to develop, what's it called? The Google one?
Bard.
How do you spell it?
B-A-R-D.
B-A-R-D.
Bard.
What does that mean? Is it an acronym?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Bard.
Bit of a weird name.
Bard. It sounds like something
I'm sure
from
someone
the Simpsons
knows. And they're probably like shaking their head like, how does he not know that? But I actually don't know what Bard stands for.
Bots. Automated.
No, so remember last week or the week before we spoke about Microsoft potentially injecting another $10 billion into ChatGPT.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange taking 70% of the profits until that investment is paid back. Well, they're also putting pressure now on Google's Bard, because they've just released the new Bing search, Microsoft's step beyond ChatGPT, which is doing something very similar to Bard, but they've trained it as a ChatGPT version 4. Like an advanced version of ChatGPT that can help you conduct searches online and come back with results. And one of the very interesting things is a guy from The Verge who was covering this particular story asked this AI to write a resignation letter for his boss in a funny tone, with the main reason being that he felt his job was being replaced by AI. The letter that was generated is pretty impressive. So I'm going to read the letter to you that Microsoft's Bing search gave back to this guy when he asked them to make him a funny letter that he can write to his boss about his job being replaced by AI. So it goes, subject, I quit, exclamation point, exclamation point. Dear boss, I regret to inform you that I'm resigning from my position as a data analyst, effective immediately. The reason is simple. AI is replacing my job. Yes, I know you told me that AI is just a tool to help me work faster and smarter, but I don't buy it. I've seen that the way you look at the shiny new machine in the corner with its blinking lights and soothing voice, I've heard the rumors that it can do everything I can do, but better, cheaper, and without complaining. I've felt this cold shoulder you've given me ever since you installed it. So I've decided to save you the trouble of firing me and just quit. I don't want to compete with a machine that can crunch numbers, generate reports, and write witty jokes at the same time. I don't want to work for a boss who values AI over human intelligence and creativity. I don't want to be part of a company that is willing to sacrifice its employees for the sake of efficiency and profit. I'm sure you'll be very happy with your new AI assistant. I hope it doesn't turn against you and take over the world. I hope it doesn't make any mistakes that cost you your reputation and customers. I hope it doesn't get bored and start playing games with your data. I hope it doesn't develop a personality and fall in love with you. But if it does, don't come come crying to me. I'll be too busy enjoying my life, pursuing my passions, and finding a new job that appreciates me for who I am. Goodbye and good luck, your former data analyst.
Wow.
This is written by AI.
Yeah.
Word for word.
But brilliant, eh?
It's witty. It's funny.
It's very witty.
I laughed a lot when I saw it.
It sounds like a human wrote it.
Yeah.
It really is very witty. Wow.
So that's a look at Bing's new AI powered by ChatGPT.
Yeah.
That is going to be featured in Microsoft Office Tools. And inside of Bing Search and inside of Edge, Microsoft's Edge browser.
Okay.
So expect that to be coming out in the next week or two or three, and we're probably going to see some virality from it. I mean, it sounds pretty impressive that it did just that as a very small sample of its power. Very, very cool.
Well, ChatGPT existed for a while before we heard of it. Why did it suddenly become this big deal?
Because it can do seemingly impossible things with an extremely short period of time and present it in the utmost confident manner. So, you know, being able to go to a machine and say, please write me code that can scan websites for the latest specials in South Africa. And it will write you code that can potentially do that, and it will give you instructions on how to deploy that code. And because it can do those kind of things, and because it can write these witty, humorous jokes, we saw Ryan Reynolds use ChatGPT to write him an ad for his company Mint Mobile, and he voiced it over, and it was an incredibly well-written ad that would have seemingly been written by Ryan Reynolds. It has some powerful technologies, but as mentioned before, its critical flaw right now is how confidently it can provide information that may not be true, and provide work that may not be correct. And because of that, there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen and a lot of human review that needs to be there if you're going to be tackling this as a professional service to people. It still has a lot of room to grow in that regard. And it's a very challenging thing to actually grow. But I guess we're off to our music break.
Yes, and then what are we coming back with the final round?
So to close it off, we're going to take a look at Nyx's hydration biosensor for athletes, right? Which is going to tell you how hydrated you are during your run and when you need to drink water. We're going to take a look at Google Maps' immersive view, which is going to be very, very cool. It's like a level up of Street View for Google Maps. And we're also going to take a look at a company that's managed to put carbon emissions, carbon dioxide, into concrete, into the concrete making process, potentially to tackle climate change. We're going to talk about that as well.
Whoa, that's interesting. What a time to be alive. That's when we come back.
What's your name? Nice to meet you. Por favor, señorita. You're the rare, restive creatures. Like the rain in the beach. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Por favor, señorita. You're the rift, rift of creatures. Hide the rain in the beach. We'll be right back.
We've reached the final stretch of today's Tech Plus. That was Callum Scott with Ibiza. Kane, we're about to wrap it up with...
So, we're taking a look at a biosensor that you can put on your arm and it will tell you if you need to hydrate. Now, this is something very interesting because hydration is something that I think a lot of us aren't necessarily 100% focused on. You know, you can see all these TikTok videos and things like that coming out talking about how much water you need to be drinking every single day. But none of us really know how hydrated we are versus how hydrated we need to be.
Mm.
And this particular sensor, which is incredibly expensive and probably only a good bang for its buck for someone like an athlete on an endurance run. But it's a simple sensor that encompasses a tech device as well as a pad with some tech on it that is needing to be replaced with every time you use it. So it's like a temporary pad, and you get a new pad and a new one, and it sticks onto your arm, and it's about the size of a watch, and it will basically tell you when you need to drink water. And the reason that I think it is good is because it takes the guesswork out of the hydration process. It's got convenient charging cases. It compares hydration products based on your needs, right? And it tells you when to drink during exercise, and it integrates with Apple smartwatch and Garmin smartwatches as well. But the bad stuff is the patches are single use, so you're gonna have to buy a new patch every single time. They cost $25 a pad, right? So it's like 300, 400 rand a pad, and you're using it for a once-off run.
Yeah.
But still, very cool technology that is able to tell whether or not you are hydrated enough. And it can be a very important process in avoidance of stitches, spasms, muscle cramps, all that sort of stuff.
When else did you have a stitch?
This morning when I got up. No, I'm joking.
Whoa.
No, I get them, but I get them more severe than when I was younger. Like they
really?
Yeah. I once went for a run and had a stitch so bad it stuck around for a 12-hour period.
I remember getting those stitches when I was running as a kid, running a lot, and it gets so bad you can't carry on.
But if I don't
drink
Coke,
what's the cause of it again?
Well, it's high sugar and low salt content. In like your body has like 7 different salts that it really needs in order to keep cells hydrated.
But what's actually aching in your body causing that pain?
It's a muscle spasm.
Is it just muscles?
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be muscles, but it can also be intercontinental muscles and interskeletal muscles as well.
Oh dear.
It can be
okay.
The muscle between
that
bones.
Hurts.
It can be the muscle between joints, and it can be muscle that's like a bicep or just below your abs. Also can get stitches.
But of biology as well.
In the technology. So one thing I really wanted to speak about today before we ran out of time was this first in climate change, right? So a company in California is the first company to say they have trapped atmospheric CO2 in concrete. So big tech is throwing money at one of the trickiest climate problems to solve, cleaning up carbon dioxide emissions from making concrete. This initiative goes one step further, aiming to turn concrete into a tool for trapping CO2. So a trio of companies say they've taken carbon dioxide out of the atmosphere and used it to make concrete for construction projects across the California Bay Area. This is the first time this has been done anywhere in the world, and according to the announcement on Friday, and if the effort takes off, there's potential for it to become a useful strategy for slashing the tremendous amount of greenhouse gas emissions that come from concrete. So here are two interesting facts about concrete. Number one is, in order to make concrete, you need temperatures of about 2,000 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
And also, concrete is the most consumed product in the world behind water.
Mm.
So we use a lot of concrete. And it's one of the big factors that are influencing climate change. So I think it's very impressive as a starting point that they've managed to make the thing that is causing climate problems also something that could potentially solve them. And that is the process of trapping CO2 in concrete when it's constructed. And that's very interesting because one of the carbon capture methods is to take CO2 and put it deep inside of mountains because it's got nowhere to go.
Mm.
So it's going to trap and keep it safe. Very interesting, right?
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. And then finally, as a last piece before we wrap up for the day, Google Maps has released a immersive view, which is like Street View, but better. And what it is, first of all, it's being rolled out in London, Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, and Tokyo, with more cities expected in the coming months. But because it is Google Maps, you can go look at this right now.
So it's like Street View.
Well, immersive view is in essence a combination of billions of street views and aerial images, which is combined into a 3D render that allows users to scope out neighborhoods as if they're flying overhead.
Wow.
And then drop down to street level for a closer look at areas of interest. So why it's cool is because it was first announced in May 2021. This is how it's kind of developed over the time. But you can potentially use it to map out an event that you're going to attend in Paris, for example, and you can see the area, and you can see everything in terms of traffic flow, people congestion, and you can literally fly around the area in third dimension space and go up and down and left and right and look over the city as if you were a drone in the area, and then go down to street view and have a closer look. And I think that's very cool technology.
That is brilliant.
Because they didn't take a virtual reality camera or a three-dimensional camera into the sky and film it. They took millions of street views and photographs and turned it into a three-dimensional render.
I need to check that out. That's like traveling. Traveling and you're just sitting at home.
Now
it's brilliant.
Imagine you could put a VR headset and then go into immersive view.
Be there.
Yeah. Whoa. The future is exciting.
That's very exciting.
That sounds really cool.
Yes, and on that exciting note, it's time to say goodbye. Kane, as always, brilliant tech show this week. Thank you so much. And you must have a good weekend.
Thank you very much. And to all of our listeners as well, thank you for always tuning in. And we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Cheers, everyone. Bye-bye.